The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
Verse 6, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'll title it, A Child is Born, A Son is Given. A child is born, comma, a son is given. So Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government, there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So I go over it. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This is a prophecy of Isaiah. He spoke it at a time when the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. It was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Judah could be located in the southern kingdom. Now, the Israelites, both the north and south, were doing things that were not pleasing to God. And like usual, God will open or allow enemies to come and attack them so that Israel will get back to their God and God will help them. So at this particular point, it was the Assyrians. They had gone to attack the northern kingdom and had taken them captive already. But the south had not been taken captive, and they were trusting God and resisting every effort of the enemy to take them captive. So around this period, you would have noticed in the earlier verses that God actually was at a point rebuking Israel, and he was not pleased with them. And then in the latter part where we just read, God through Isaiah was prophesying about them in that time, but one part of the prophecy was into the future. So it was based upon the happenings around Judah that Isaiah prophesied a word of hope to the people of God. So let's start taking them in segments and breaking them down. Number one, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born. Now usually we would say that for unto Mr. and Mrs. a child is born. For unto Abraham and Sarah a child is born. For unto Isaac and Rebecca, a child is born. For unto pastor and his wife, a child is born. But this one did not state it that way. This child was born not just to Joseph and Mary, but this child will be born to the rest of the world. whom God had targeted that they would be saved. So Jesus was to be a ransom to the people that God wanted to save. So Jesus had to come as an infant in humility. This first scripture, where Jesus was conceived and born, represents his humanity. But the second point we're going to look at, point two, will show the divinity of Christ. Now remember, we just said, for unto us a child is born. And this child was not just born to the couple, but was born to the rest of the world. Now the second point says, for unto us a son is given. For unto us a son is given. A child is born, but a son is given. This child is not just going to be an ordinary child, and it's not just going to be a child specifically for a family, but this child was going to be available for humanity. Now unto us a son is given. In other words, God is specifically saying that I have given you a child, but now I am giving you a son, whom we shall call God's son. And the Bible talks about God's only begotten son at that time. So God, out of love, was willing to send his son. Now, children don't go to the cross. It's the son who is matured, who understands, who can distinguish between right and wrong, who is matured, and who will be led to the cross and crucified for the whole of humanity. So look at it. Children are born, but sons are given. This baby or infant that is born will mature and be called a son. In the custom of Israel, when a son reaches a certain age, the father calls him and tells the person that you are maturing, and you are a son. And he begins to let him know that it's time for responsibilities. So in the service of God, we are not supposed to remain infants and children when we are born again. But we are supposed to grow up and develop and receive this grace and gift of a son. Is somebody understanding me? So you are born a child, but you must grow into a son or daughter of Zion. You are born a child, but you must develop into a son. Remember, the Bible says that a son, as long as he remains a child, is not fit for the inheritance. The inheritance is not given to him. The servant holds it, takes custody of all the estate, of all the things that are supposed to be given to the son, until the son matures out of childhood into that age where he can distinguish between right and wrong. This scripture is placing on us the processes through which Christ went. And the Bible says in Christ's development and growth, he grew and he had favor with God and with man. Jesus grew up. He had favor with God and with man. He developed physically. He developed mentally as well. So what is maturity if we are to mature from children or babies to sons? What is maturity? Number one, maturity is your ability to respond appropriately to your environment. What is your environment? We have a physical environment. We have a social environment where we relate to other people. We have a mental environment where we think in. We have a financial environment where we do money transactions. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. I didn't hear an amen. Yeah. Oh, let me hear a better amen. Let everybody put their hands together, somebody. There are things that will show up in your environment, in your physical environment. How you respond to it will tell your maturity. There are things that will show up in your spiritual environment. The way you get the word of God, the way you confess the word, the way you believe the word, the way you pray with the word will determine your maturity. There are things that will occur in your social environment. The people you work with, the people you live with at home, the people you meet in church, and the people that you find in the marketplace or wherever you may be. There are issues, sometimes there will be offenses, and how you respond to these issues will determine your maturity. Can I hear a solid amen to that? I say this without joy. There are some people in the asylum now that we say have mental problems, and it's a challenge, it's a serious challenge. They have not been able to master the art of managing the environment. Whether it's a spiritual environment that they had to deal with, or is the mental environment they had to deal with, or is the social environment that they had to deal with, they have never mastered it. And so the thing affects them, overwhelms them, and then confuses them, and then derails them mentally. I forbid that thing in your life. Now, you are fine and normal, and you feel that is your right. But I'm praying for you that you will not be a casualty to the mental hospital. I'm praying for you that you'll be delivered from any mental health problems now and anything situated in the future against you. I abort it by the power of God in the name of Jesus. If I don't like your amen, if I were you, I'll clap and shout amen. Hey, when you are confused, you cannot handle yourself. When you are depressed, you cannot manage yourself. When you have a mental health challenge, you cannot read the Bible and be stable in your understanding. Sometimes people have lost their jobs. Some have lost their marriages. Some have even lost their family. So if you are sound today and you are resisting anything that Satan is throwing against you, I want to hear it in your shout. I want to feel it in your clap. We reject insanity. We reject confusion of mind. We reject any kind of depression in our lives. And we reject any attacks of the devil that seeks to make us a candidate for the devil. We refuse to be patient to the mental hospital. We refuse to have challenges of mental health problem. We declare we will be sound. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. I say, and of sound mind, and of a disciplined mind, and of a well-controlled mind. Can I hear a more solid amen? When you are rejected by the one you are dating with, you must show maturity in how you handle it. When that guy in whose life you have invested so much decides to leave you and go and take your friend to relate to and get married to, I'm telling you, you must control your environment. If you are sleeping in church, you are not controlling your environment. If you don't have money, what do you do? A mature person will go and read and take the principles of God. While he's reading, he will draw wisdom, draw understanding, and start practicing the things step by step. A mature person knows when you plant a seed today, it doesn't grow immediately, but it goes through a process. It takes time, and the mature person, the skilled person, the one who understands the environment, will be patient and wait until the time of maturity. There are seeds you will plant in a year, you will reap in the next few years. There are others you plant in January, by February you have it. So you don't have to have unrealistic expectations, frustrate yourself, and act as if God was not interested in you at all. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says a sower went to sow, and while he was sowing, birds of the air came to pick it. The moment you are dozing in church, the birds of the air will pick that revelation from you. God forbid. Can I hear an amen? So, what are we saying? We are saying that a person who is mature knows how to respond to the environment. You have a deadline to pay the school fees. You don't have it. You don't go into sleepless nights. What you need to do is to pray to God and cast all your cares upon him. When you have really cast it upon him, lay down, sleep, and ask him to speak to you what to do. Oh, come on, put your hands together. A number of the heart problems and heart challenges are from this. There was a primary school mate of mine, and somebody said, oh, have I heard about him? I said, no. He says he lives abroad. I was so excited. I said, I just have met two or three of my primary school mates. So can I have his phone number so I can link up? Then he said, his phone number is in the grave. And I said, what happened? He said that there have been conflicts between he and the wife, and the thing has affected him so much that now his BP has shot into the roof. One day he was at his place of work, and the wife came to attack him at the place of work, and his BP went up, and he fell down flat, like Kelvin Boy said in his song. And he was gone. Don't die such a death. I didn't hear an amen. Don't die such a death. I'm not discounting that such things don't affect you mentally. They do. That is why you must have the skill of using the word, the skill of inviting people to join hearts with you and to pray through that thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you see your BP is changing and getting worse, then you must take action supernaturally and find therapy psychologically and rest. You cannot carry the whole world on your head. Jesus already has carried the world. So pass the problem on to Christ. and be free, have relief. He says, my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. So if you come for that exchange at the cross, God will give you something that will help you. Rather than thinking and worrying, and some of us have practiced worry, we don't walk in faith. We've practiced worry so much that we are literally not believing God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You control your environment. You know, when our children are taken to senior high schools, the secondary schools, and they go to the boarding house, and sometimes we are afraid for them. Leave them. At 17, God left Joseph. Leave them. Sometimes you cry small when you are coming back home. Oh. But it's okay. Maturity is going to start. You come back after 2 weeks to visit them, and you give them the skill to handle what they are facing. Within a short period of time, when they are done with their A-levels or senior high school examination, they can travel abroad, leave you here, and go and manage themselves because they are maturing. So one meaning of maturity is your ability to control your environment. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Number two, maturity means to be fully developed in your senses and abilities. You realize that what this person is doing is leading you to temptation. The person is annoying you. The person is insulting you. The person is gossiping about you. The person is saying lies about you. The person is provoking you. Control yourself. You may not be able to control the other person, but as for your emotions and your thoughts, control it. When you are fully developed in your senses and your abilities, we say you are mature. Number three, maturity means ability to take responsibility. We train our children to be responsible, not irresponsible. Eli lost the priesthood from his lineage because he spoiled his children. God will hold you responsible for how you are raising your children. God will hold you accountable for how you are raising your children. Some of you are raising your children in such that they cannot live with any man or woman in future as spouses. The way you are raising them, they can only live by themselves. But God wants us to raise the children so that they will become beneficial to their generation. Say amen. Amen. So, there are various areas to which we train them. Number one, we teach them. We teach them the word. We find opportunities to share the word of God with them. The Bible says when you sit down with them, teach them the word. When you lie down with them in bed, teach them the word. When you walk with them along the pathway, teach them the word. Take every opportunity at the traffic lights or in the park or at the beach to tell them about God. Tell them about the greatness of God as you look at the wide expanse of the sea. Number two, teach them by example. Teach them how to give offerings in the Sunday school. The money you give to them is not for yogurt. It's not for candies. It's not for spring rolls. It's not for sausage rolls. If you give them money for the children's department, you are training them to give. If they don't learn to give when they come to the elder service, they will never give because they are not used to giving. You train them to share at home, share with your younger sister. I didn't hear an amen. Sometimes we are responsible for breeding sibling rivalry like Nyamime Nimbi. There are cases when my children were young and I knew who was wrong, I disciplined the one who was wrong. But if I came and it was fight in the morning, fight in the afternoon, I dealt with the two of you. And then when I assessed the situation and I found the wrong one, you got an additional. Number one, I was killing quarrels and fights in the house. I don't want it. If somebody offends you, come and tell me. Tell your mother. But don't take the law into your hands and fight. So you find some siblings grow up and they are not together. No. There's envy, there's jealousy, there's hatred, there's lack of respect because nobody disciplined anybody. You don't fight in my house. You don't fight. Tell the next person, nobody should be fighting in your house. Which means that you and your wife, you don't fight. You and your husband, you don't insult each other. Please keep your mouth shut. If I have an argument with you, don't insult my relatives. It is between you and I. Oh, come on, come on. You see, there are things that when it is between you and I, we can wipe away. But when you bring in the extended family and they hear it, you are in trouble. So there must be no quarrel in your house. There must be no fights. You must stem them quickly. The younger one does not respect the older one. Teach that value. So in teaching this, we are also teaching them values by example. Teach them the values. Values of respect for younger ones and older ones and peers. Values of submission and honesty. Values of working hard and compassion. Values for service. Values for table manners and eating well, balanced diet. I didn't hear an amen. Thirdly, teach them how to pray. 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 Take them to the woods. Find an open field which is safe. You can check into a place where you can have a retreat and pray with them. You are a father, you wake up, you don't pray. You are a mother, you wake up, you don't pray. As soon as you wake up, you head for kitchen utensils. What is wrong with you? Your children have never seen you praying. When I used to write exams and I was rewriting, my mother would always come, let's pray before you go. She was teaching me that you can win by prayers. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. She taught us how to value Christmas. She'd wake up early, come around and wake you up and say, oh, Merry Christmas. Today is Christmas Day. And I said, this old lady, I'm sleeping. Why? But the thing sank into us. Said that on 25th December, you could not stay at home because the thing was ingrained in you to go to service. She was interested in celebrating the new year with you, and she would say, Happy New Year. After you've left church, you've gone home and slept and woken up, she'll come, Happy New Year to you. I said, well, mommy, at Happy New Year, we are inside. Why? Can you turn around and say Merry Christmas to someone? Say it. Teach your children that they must not be absent when the church is present. Because if you leave it that way and they feel home is normal, some other person will come and influence them elsewhere. And then you will come and say, Imbile, Agbenena, Agba, hey, awesome. Train a child the way you should. And when he grows up, he will never depart from it. If all your children have departed from it, then it looks like you are not working well. I'm not passing guilt on you. I'm just telling you that you can pray for God to help you. But don't let it get out of hand. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, say amen. Say amen. Amen. Jesus, every morning before dawn, left his house to go to a secluded place to seek God. So if we are doing that in the woods once a week, are we asking for too much? No. If we say that there's one weeknight service, are we asking for too much? No. So from a child that is born, a son is given. That is a gift. The child refers to his humanity. The sonship refers to his divinity, the aspect of God upon his life. So let's go to the third point. And the government, so I'm teaching from Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, he will rule over God's people and the rest of the world, particularly in the millennium. He will be responsible to governing Judah. And not just Judah, but the rest of the world. Jesus has come to rule because of the incompetence of the leaders of Judah. Well, one political leader says that he lost some elections because his opponents called him incompetent. You see, if I like somebody, your judgment of incompetence will not change my mind. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. So I have a problem with that kind of understanding. Jesus was giving because of the incompetence of the leaders in Judah. They will come do their own thing. They will come lead the people to idolatry. They will come. They will not help them tithe. They just did their thing. They will come. They will not lead them to the temple to worship God. So God will always allow crisis to come. And then they will look up to God. Don't live such a life where you neglect God, abandon the things of God. And then in crisis, that is when you get back to God. You see, you are making the devil have one step advantage over you. It should be the other way around. Your intercessions to put you many steps ahead of the devil. That by the time he intends to attack you, you have sought the face of God and God has taken you far. Put your hands together. So the government, the rulership of Judah and the rest of the world shall be upon him. Why? Because of his maturity. Because of how God has prepared him. Because of what God has made him to be. Now, in the same verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6, there are additional four descriptive names of God. So, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now, listen to the next part. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pick them one after the other. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful means distinguished, means special, means beyond human comprehension. Wonderful means miracle worker. So distinguished, special, beyond human comprehension, and miracle worker. The Hebrew word for wonderful is pele, as in pele. As in the great footballer, what was his name? Something do Nascimento. You people, you think I don't know my soccer. Arantes do Nascimento was called Pele. Pele is a Hebrew word, which means miracle worker, which means special. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Which means something that is a sign and a wonder. So if I name a child here Pele, I'm naming the child biblically. So wonderful is the Hebrew word pele, and which means miracle worker, sign and wonder, something that makes you marvel, something beyond your comprehension, etc. So what we talk about, a wonderful counselor, a counselor brings guidance and help to bring people to a certain decision which those individuals or counselees are to make. God will help you make a choice. God will help you arrive at a decision, but the choice will be yours. The decision will be yours. So God grants guidance. So let me explain something. The word of God as it is, when you read it, study it, and fill your heart with it, it will give you guidance in many situations. But there are other things that the word of God is silent about. The word of God does not tell you where you work. The word of God does not tell you which school you will attend. The word of God does not tell you which countries you'll be visiting. The word of God does not tell you. It's not there. What the word of God tells you is that you must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So that one, you don't even need to pray about it because it's provided. Pastor, I've met somebody. He doesn't want to come to church. Neither does he go to church. But he's a nice man. Don't bring yourself. Don't bring yourself. The Bible has stated what we should not be doing and what we should be doing. But if we want to know exactly the person that we are to get married to, then we need guidance from the Holy Spirit. I think you must clap. You need guidance. I will learn a miss my son. I've got miss my nina nuchimo. Then you go for her. If you do that, you go for a second woman, a third woman, a fourth woman. And sometimes I look at celebrities who have died. I may not know them. Then I Google. Then I hear from 1968 to 71 married. 73 to 78 another. And then I found the man was married 5 times. All the women are not dead. Because God is not guiding us. And there are some of us, our measure, some women, can I talk to the women? Their measure is somebody who has money. Somebody who comes, he has a nice littering beard and with plenty mustache. I know you don't have mustache in this church. That's why I'm talking that way. And the person dresses nicely, has a baritone voice, and comes, and when he speaks, his voice even overshadows your pastor's voice. And when he says, are you going to church today? You say, yes. Say, why? Don't go. Come to my house. Then you collect your things, leave your house, and go to his house for church service. You are not being led by the Lord. There are some women folk, the thing that attracts them is to visit a guy who has a swimming pool in the house. For others, it's just a malt and kebab. They will follow the guy to anywhere. Are you saying that you cannot prosper to buy your own malt and to buy a few kebabs for yourself? So the counseling of Jesus described in such terms tells us that when he counsels you into business, you will succeed. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. The wonderful counselor, when he counsels you into ministry, you will do well. You may have obstacles, you may have difficulties, you may have ups and downs, but if you follow him well, you will succeed. Can I hear an amen? Oh, come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. If you follow him well, you will not be broke in your latter years. Because he's a wonderful counselor, an amazing counselor, a miraculous counselor, a counselor whose counsel surpasses all and brings signs and wonders. Jacob was poor in his uncle's house until God revealed to him what he should do. Today, my prayer to you online and to the in-person church is, may God guide you that you will know what to do. This one you should say amen 3 times. Number one, amen. Number two, amen. Number three, let it be louder and longer. If you are led what to do about business, you will become a multi-thousandaire, a multi-millionaire, and a multi-billionaire, and a multi-trillionaire. Oh, I did. You're not clapping. Let God guide you. Don't be in a hurry. Don't choose after your eyes. Lot chose after his eyes, and it was close to Sodom. He lost his property. He nearly lost his family. In fact, his wife turned into a pillar of salt. So we are in an era where you have to get up, study the word, and let God guide you. Not that the guy dresses nicely and is a cool dude. And then when he comes to your house, he stands somewhere and says, "Oh, Papa, kabule, kabule, boje punoba." Look, when a person starts making you despise your parents, be careful. It is even worse when that guy makes you despise your pastor. I think you should run away. Because you will need your pastor one day to stand in for you and to pray with you. But the moment he starts saying, "Oh, that church, no, and that church." No, he knows the truth. is in that church. So don't leave the church. Come on, put your hands together. Don't leave that church. Don't leave that church. So number one, Jesus is a wonderful counselor. When he counsels you, allow him, he will make you succeed because he will guide you supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. He will be your advisor and your purpose giver. He's the one that will refresh your destiny to you and link you to your destiny. And you'll find that things will fall in the right places. Clap, clap, clap. Put your hands together. Number two description, still in Isaiah 9:6. Mighty God. I like that. Mighty God in the Hebrew is the word El Gibor. El is one word, as in El Shaddai. And Gibor is El Gibor is a military word representing a mighty warrior. It's talking about a hero in battle. That means that there are other people who are army generals and they have conquered many territories. And when this El Gibor person meets them, who is a mighty warrior and a great hero, he conquers all of them. In other words, there is no power, no force that Jehovah cannot conquer. And this power was given to Christ, and he was named the Mighty God, the El Gibor, the person of military tactics. A military ability to deal with any situation, to deal with any circumstances. Amen. Can I hear a loud amen? When Joshua lost the first battle in Ai, El Gibor was the one who directed them what to do, and they overcame those people there. When Joshua had to fight in the battle of Aijalon, and they didn't know what to do, it was Jehovah who rained hailstones from the heavens and destroyed their enemies. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 24, when David was to face the Philistines once again and didn't know what to do and went to seek the advice of the wonderful counselor, he was told that, "For it shall come to pass that when you hear the voice of marching on tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then Jehovah is gone out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." God says, in this battle, don't move. Wait where you are. There were some trees called the mulberry trees. And the Bible says that David was to wait there, and he will hear the sound that seems some people were walking on top of the trees. As soon as he hears that sound, it means that Jehovah is gone ahead of them. Today, may Jehovah come down. I'm calling upon Jehovah. May he come down upon your life. May he come down upon your family. May he come down over your business and investment and your academic career. May it come down upon your community that the things that the devil is stirring and the things that the devil is creating against you in the name of Jesus, that Jehovah shall move, figuratively speaking, on the mulberry trees, and he will cause you to hear the sound of his movement ahead of you on the mulberry trees, and you will arise and attack the Philistines, and I tell you, you will destroy every one of them. If you believe that, put your hands together and shout a big amen. Oh, come and put your hands together and shout amen. I said, God is moving on the mulberry trees. He's moving over your business. He's moving over your relationship. He's moving over your marriage. God is moving in the mulberry trees. About the things which concern you. And you will know that he's gone ahead of you. And he's defeating your enemies. He's bringing victory to you. And you will collect the spoil of the enemy. Is that not a lovely thing to have? El Gibor, a military strategist, an all-powerful God, a God that cannot be defeated, a God who has been to Calvary's cross and defeated all the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, a God who has subdued the devil and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men and ascended into the heavens, a God that knows no defeat. When he was done, he said, all power in heaven and on earth, that is Jesus, has been given to me, because he was designated El Gibor before he went to Calvary's cross. Can I declare you are designated an overcomer before you entered the battle? Can I declare you are designated a more than a conqueror before you entered the battle? Can I declare you are declared the most successful before you enter the battle? Oh, come on, put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together, somebody. Oh, come on, put your hands together, somebody. So number one, he shall be called what? He shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Number two, he shall be called what? Mighty God, El Gibor. Number three, Everlasting Father. Now look at the person who was born as a child. The same person is now an everlasting person. He's confirming both humanity and divinity. The word everlasting has many original words. One of them is Avad, capital A-V, then there's a small space, capital A-D. So A-V-A-D, Avad, which means again and again and again and again. Oh, I didn't hear. He's an everlasting father. That means his kingdom has no end. In fact, the kingdom has no beginning and has no end. A father is a beginner, is a helper, he's a forgiver, he's a deliverer. And whatever he does as a faithful father, he does it again and again. If the Philistines came the first time, he will grant Israel victory. If they came the second time, he will give them another victory. If they came the third time, he will give them victory. And if they came the fourth time, he will give them victory. And I want you to know, as long as Jehovah liveth, El Gibor liveth, our Father, everlasting Father, your victories shall never cease. Your breakthroughs shall never dry up. Your blessings will continue forever and ever and ever. One of the priests in the mainline churches was asked to bless one of these administrations. A political party had won and was in office. And when he went, he lifted up his hands and started praying. The Lord, let this government of so and so political party stay in office forever and ever and ever and ever. And I said, no, this man is not praying the word of God. The only person who stays forever and ever and ever is the everlasting Father. You are putting that political party into temptation. That year, that political party lost. Don't ask me which party. Because you people have the tendency of associating us with political parties. When you are not around, El Gibor, our everlasting Father, Avad, will remain forever. That is why he was able to institute the government of David forever. And that lineage affected the coming of Christ. And it is still eternalized. So that Christ will come again and rule in the millennium. Because the government shall rest upon his shoulder. He's mature. He can bear it. He can carry you. It doesn't matter what political system it is. He will carry, he will bear the burden with his shoulders. Let's look at the last one. The last one says, he shall be called Prince of Peace. Peace means tranquility. Sorry, shalom. He shall be called the Prince of Peace. And in the Hebrew is the word shalom. Shalom means peace, tranquility, safety, security, preservation, something that flourishes, fruitfulness, prosperity, wholeness, soundness, delight, welfare. Oh. It also means ceasefire between enemies. It means sound mind, healthy body, and a flourishing spirit. Shalom means a lot of things. I have cut it short because the list goes on and on and on and starts from peace, safety, security, preservation. So you can pick these things one after the other and ask for safety and security. Ask that God will preserve you. When we preserve food, it doesn't go bad easily. The other day I bought some Fanti Kenke, which has been preserved and is normally available for the military. And that Fanti Kenke lasts for 2 years. Oh, I'll bring some to church tomorrow. So that the army can put it in their backpack. They have Shito that has been put into sachets, like how Milo and Nido has been put into sachets. And they just pluck one, open it, and they are eating in the bush. Now, even men have learned how to preserve food and other things. How much God? How much more God? Who says, I will preserve your life? Atalia may want to kill every royal seed, but there is one person who will be preserved. What's the name of that person? Is that Joash or Josiah? Tell me, when did Josiah come? And when did Joash come? Which of them? If I were you, I'll Google. This is where you can Google in church. Who was hid from Athaliah? Athaliah was a wicked woman. Very wicked woman. In Israel. Joash. Thank you. Let's clap for him. Joash. He's decided to kill everybody with potential of being a king. And there are certain times things come against your family. You see that in LA, Agbokemba. There's a young lady, when I used to work in the university, she spoke about the fact that because she had become charismatic, the father did not like it. So the father decided to curse and said that they would die. She was there. An elder brother of hers died. The following year, another brother of hers died. And then we stood with her, prayed with her. After 3 years, she also died. Oh yeah, it depends on which congregation you also have to be in. So there are spirits that target families because there's a seed of greatness in them and decide that I will destroy them. But today, I, as an under shepherd of Christ, under the power of God, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, declares that today you are covered by the blood. Oh, I said you are covered from dangers. Open your mouth wide and say amen. You are covered from peril. You are covered from destruction. By the power, by the glory of God, Jehovah is your defense. He's your shield. He's your high tower. Your going out is blessed. Your coming in is blessed. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed in the village. Whichever village, whether your hometown or not, you are blessed. So, preservation in shalom is an important thing. After a while, God will hide you and they won't hear about you. Don't present yourself too quickly on social media. Wait when God is done with you and you get first class honors. Then you put it there. Before that, you intercede because they say, hey! So let's look at shalom. Shalom is such a blessing. And shalom, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace, that is what he is to us. Now in the Latin, shalom means cessation of hostilities. There are too many quarrels around us. This tribe and that tribe, this uncle and that auntie, this cousin and that other second cousin. And there are small, small pockets of quarrels around us. But today, in the name of Jesus, I break the conflicts. I destroy the confusion. I command enmity aborted and abated. Between families, between siblings, and in church, and in the nation. Now, I decided to find the distinction between well-being and welfare because they are all part of shalom. God shall cater for your welfare and he shall cater for your well-being. So what is well-being? Well-being has to do with the absence of sickness and disease. They don't characterize your life regularly. No. Well-being, again, means a person's emotional, mental, social, and physical health. So, if we prophesy shalom, we are prophesying the things into these areas in your life. We are prophesying it into your emotion, that you be stable and that you not be rocked by anything, you not be confused and disturbed. We are, when we prophesy, it is going to the mental, that you not be depressed and worried and filled with anxiety. When we prophesy into the social, we are declaring that your social relationship shall be sound. Not all men will love you, but there's no need to quarrel with every man. Save some of your energy for better intercession. And then your physical health, your well-being. Today I pray that any sickness hiding in your body, whether latent or manifest, we curse the seed. Now, I will not say amen for you. I'm saying amen. We curse the seed. We curse the latent seed, the seed that is hiding, the seed of destruction, the seed of sickness, disease, the seed of pain. We curse it. We destroy it. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. So then, what is welfare? So in fact, before I go to welfare, well-being includes your educational attainment. Welfare is taking care of the needs of people. Assisting people, for instance, with food, health care. You know, we went together with Dr. Atto, led a medical team, and went to deliver about 30, 32 minor surgeries at the Nsawam prisons in Accra. We're taking care of their welfare. There are times that we have raised finances, and some have donated various different items, including food, clothing, footwear, drinks, water, and we have taken to the inmates, some of them in their chest services at the prisons. Remember this year, we went to feed 600 inmates with sumptuous meal. We contracted a caterer who cooked for 600 persons at the Ankafo maximum security prisons after we undertook 3 days of a crusade within the prison walls. What were we doing? We were taking care of their wealth. I think you can clap to God. The Bible says, even as you have done to these little children, so will I do to you. The Bible says, I was in prison, you didn't visit me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. Our visitation to the prison enables us to do all. And we are doing that in your name as well as our name. And we are asking for God's blessing to fall on you. Particularly, we are asking that let members of your lineage be exempted from imprisonment. Let your spouse be exempted from imprisonment. Let your children be exempted from imprisonment. Shout the biggest amen. Shout. You know, somebody can give you a forged document because you want a connection man, and he'll give you forged documents and say they are good. And if they are not dictated at Kotoka and you travel elsewhere and they discover it, you are arrested. Because by the laws of that country, forged documents means you must be imprisoned. And suddenly, a member of your family is in prison. I am saying we forbid it. We forbid it. It will not happen. Can I hear a solid amen? A guy was driving. He didn't have license. And he was on the way. He went to knock somebody down. And he was arrested. Taken to court. And he was guilty of manslaughter. He served many years there. A gentleman was part of six guys. They took a lady, forced her to bed. He didn't really participate, but he was part of that. He was standing and smiling. He's serving a jail sentence. Some twins, brothers, one of them went to steal a car in Accra Circle from a garage, and he was heading on the Kumasi road, headed to Kumasi. Before then, he drove by where his brother was. He called him and said, where are you, twin brother? He said, I'm here. Then he said, jump onto the car. We are going for an expedition. We are going to Kumasi. And then the people called the police, and then they intercepted them on the way. And the two of them were arrested. The twin brother did not know that it was a stolen car. So when he went to court, he had no alibi, nothing to defend himself. The other brother said he didn't know about it. The judge said no, he was riding the car. Sometimes you may be riding on a car that you don't know. Ah, Julolie. I charge Bonake fuel. So you can get into trouble without realizing it. This is if they pass that law that you can't call anybody a witch, you're in trouble. You could be jailed. Be careful. Those of you who call people Aye. What does Aye look like? Tell me, what does that? A lady was pregnant. The guy who impregnated him compelled her to abort it. She died. They came to arrest the guy. She died in the process of aborting it. Listen to me. Don't joke with some things. If you haven't got a driver's license, leave the car alone. God has not appointed you as a separator of fights. If two people are fighting and you go and separate them, and one punches you and you decide to reply and your blows are heavier and it falls and it dies, you are in trouble. So if me, I have no anointing to settle quarrels. My anointing is to teach the word so people don't fight. Oh. Ask the next person, are you anointed to separate fights? Ask them. Yeah. We are talking about the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, the chief who has come from Jehovah Shalom. And that is what Christ was made to us. So on this occasion, as we remember Christ, we must remember some of the offices that were designated to him. If you accept that these offices and their corresponding power have started working for you already, can you clap for at least a minute with a shout to God's glory? Yes, Lord, lift up your voice. Shout a shout of victory. Shout a shout of the overcomer. Shout the shout of a victor in Christ. You cannot be defeated. You cannot be conquered. You cannot be subdued. You cannot be overpowered. Your life will not be cut short. You will transition into the next year by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus, El Gibor will fight for you. Oh, the outstanding warrior, he will fight for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, he will defeat your enemies for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the wonderful counselor will guide your steps. He will take you out of trouble. He will lead you out of confusion. He will help you make a good choice. You will prosper in the choices that you make. May the Lord bless you. May you not choose just after your carnal eyes, but may you choose after your spiritual eyes that the Lord shall give to you. I declare that a lot of people are going to prosper. I said they are going to prosper in this church, in your community, online they will prosper. I said prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. On that note, I bring my message to a close. Mama, God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands together. Yes, if you have something to dedicate to the Lord, why?